Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always good to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information as we begin the broadcast today, on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Ian, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, first, I'd like to say thank you to everyone that contributes to CRI and your program, because I'm very thankful. I look forward to your program every day. So thank you to everyone who contributes. And my question for you, sir, is what is your opinion of the Gideon's International Bible Association?
Well, you know, they've been spreading the good news, which is their global mission, since, I think, 1899. And they have placed now almost 2 billion Bibles and New Testaments in more than 190 countries and in more than 90 different languages. Their unique focus has always been to reach the lost by offering the Bible to individuals, by placing those Bibles in select public locations where large numbers of people might be searching for answers. And therefore, because they put these Bibles in special locations like hotel rooms, for example, people can find answers to their questions. And the testimonies that I've heard over the years are quite moving in this regard. So I think that their vision has been an incredible vision that God has richly blessed.
Okay, awesome. I was considering membership, and it sounds like it would be something to be a part of.
I think so, yes.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Can you be a political liberal and also be a Christian?
I think this is a very, very difficult question to answer, because there are liberals who, for example, don't like the focus on abortion. They think that the people on the right side of the political spectrum have way too big a focus on an area like that. They're, however, thinking about this in a broad sense, saying that life is taken in other ways and that life ought to be protected in those ways as well. And therefore, they don't want to make that the acid test, because they think that this whole matter of life applies in a broad spectrum. Am I willing to say that because they have that view that they're outside the pale of orthodoxy? Not necessarily. I may disagree with them, or I may want to modify what they're saying, but I don't necessarily say out of hand that that person could not be a believer, although I may, again, strongly disagree with their point of view.
Okay. Thank you for that, Hank, and thank you so much for your ministry. I really, really appreciate it. You can't say it enough.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate your call and your kind words. Isabella, next. She's listening in Michigan. Hi, Isabella.
Hello?
Hi.
What would be the perfect story for me to read in the Bible? Because I've been living with pain for 10 years plus, had two back surgeries, and I can barely move, like hardly walk, and I can't play with my grandchildren. And I'm losing hope and faith. And I wonder if it's wrong to ask why. I've been wondering why I'm even here anymore.
Well, Isabella, let me tell you how I'd answer that question. First of all, I would suggest the book of Job. Now, you would think, when I'm having a difficult time, why would I want to read about someone else having a difficult time? But I do think that that book gives you perspective. And it also answers the question you just asked, which is the why question. Job was a righteous man. And Job wanted to know why. And in the end, that was his primary mistake. Because God thunders back and says, you don't know what's going on in the heavenlies. Trust me. I've given you enough knowledge about myself so you can trust me. And therefore, we remember Job's ultimate words of faith, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Why? Because in this world, we're going to have trouble. But take heart, Christ has overcome the world. So Christianity never gives you, Isabella, a peaceful way to come to terms with two back surgeries, or the fact that you can't play with your grandchildren, or the pain, the horrendous pain that you must be in. It doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with those realities. But it does give us something far greater. And that is a way of overcoming through the hope of resurrection. I mean, you think about the martyrs who passed the faith on to the present. They were willing to face all the indignities that one human being can foist upon another voluntarily. They were willing to face fires. I was reading about Polycarp today, the Bishop of Smyrna, who said, 86 years I have served him. How can I deny my faithful Lord? He said those words because he was going to be burned alive if he did not say Caesar is Lord, as opposed to saying Christ is Lord. But he recognized that life was just a vapor here today and gone tomorrow. Eternity is forever. And so he lived for eternal verities. And that is ultimately where you have to find yourself today. And Isabella, I can tell you that it's easy for me to tell you that right now because I'm not experiencing what you're experiencing right now. And I recognize that it can come off all too trite for me to tell you this when you're in pain and I'm not. But I can tell you that God doesn't necessarily answer why you are having the difficulties you're having right now, except that you live in a cursed creation in which the death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. But it does give us the hope of resurrection, and that is what you have to hang on to. And a God that gives you peace in the midst of the storm. I remember my dad was dying. He was dying of a fibrosing of the lungs that encroached upon his ability to assimilate oxygen. So he was literally suffocating to death over a long period of time. It wasn't just months. It actually ended up being years. And it was very, very difficult. It was agonizing to watch him. And I used to ask him, Dad, wouldn't you just like to go home and be with the Lord? And he would always say to me, no, every moment God gives me is precious. And so it was, because he, on his deathbed, ended up blessing every one of his children and grandchildren, praying for every one of them individually before he took his last breath. And so his life was meaningful right to the very end. And I think you have to look at it that way. Spurgeon, who suffered very much like you did, and he is history's most widely read preacher, died at age 57. He said, I have never gained one half so much as I did upon the bed of pain, because it is upon the bed of pain that you come to a true valuation of things, and then you're poured out in new and better fashion. And that would be my prayer for you. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your trial, that your testimony of God's grace would be more to your grandchildren than even playing a game with them.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And okay. Isabella, also, you know, just along with the book of Job, just something that I would really commend to you is Psalm 139. It's one of my favorite psalms, but it's something that if I were in your situation, in your shoes, and again, I realize I'm not, but if I were in your shoes, and I've been there from time to time, it's a psalm I go back to over and over again, because it's a psalm that talks about how God knows you're going out and you're lying down, that he is familiar with all your ways. And even before a word is on your tongue, he knows it completely. And then David says, you hem me in behind, and before you've laid your hand upon me, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And then it goes on to talk about he can't go anywhere from the presence of God, and that God cares about every detail of his life. That's a psalm, again, that I go to over and over again when I encounter difficulties.
Okay, thank you for reminding me. You know, I was just losing hope and faith, and I was, I continued to pray, but I just started feeling hopeless, like, you know, where do I fit in when, you know, I'm just a burden, you know, on my family.
Oh, no, you're not a burden. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers.
Are you searching for answers? Look no further. Introducing the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and expanded in 2024 by Hank Hanegraaff, the ultimate equipping resource. With over 210 expertly researched questions and answers, this book provides comprehensive answers to your most challenging questions. Whether you're a seasoned theologian or just beginning your spiritual journey, the Complete Bible Answer Book has something for everyone. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
www.cri.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up, Andy in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. Well, first off, to Isabella, if she's still listening, we love you, and I'll keep you in our in my prayers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get your thoughts on the prophecy of the popes, you know, the St. Malachi.
Yeah, it's St. Malachi, and he lived during the 12th century. And the prophecies that are attributed to him were discovered in the 1590s. And the most famous of the prophecies is this one that you referenced, the so-called prophecy of the popes. However, the prophetic descriptions of the sequence of popes is almost guaranteed history written after the fact. In other words, not prophecies by St. Malachi, but forged prophecies of the 16th century, about the time that they were discovered. And the prophecies concerning the popes are very, very vague, and they are amenable to virtually any interpretation. It kind of reminds me of Nostradamus, you know, the self-styled Roman Catholic astrologist. He was infamous for pretenses ranging from the rise of Hitler to the fall of the Twin Towers. But if you go back to his prophecies, which were published also in the 1550s, somewhere in that area, and you actually read them, like beasts ferocious from hunger will swim across the rivers. The greater part of the region will be against the Hister. Well, that quatrain was hailed as an amazing prediction concerning the rise of Hitler. Although Hister was more likely known to Nostradamus as a region bordering the Danube. And in the city of New York, he said, there will be a great collapse, two twin brothers torn apart by chaos. Well, that again was said to be a 16th century prediction respecting September 11. But in reality, it was an entirely non-Nostradamian fabrication. So this is the kind of thing that you have with the prophecies of St. Malachi.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand that. All right. All right. Very good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question, and God bless you for what you do.
Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Carl next. He's listening in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Carl.
Hello, sir. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. You know, I come upon a minister talking to me recently. I won't mention the name. And he was talking about the different earth ages. And he put me in mind to understand that all our souls were has already been created before the world began. And we're just moving into them as we move into our life expectancy. And the things that we generate as we go into them, meaning the good and the bad, is how we fare to the judgment day. Am I right in my thinking, or have I missed something there?
Well, the thinking that you're describing is simply unbiblical. There's nothing in the Bible that would suppose preexistence. The reality is that when a woman gives birth, she gives birth to a body-soul unity. That's what it means to be human. So upon conception, you have a human being, and that human being or that conceptus has full personhood from the moment of conception, although not a fully developed personality for obvious reasons, but it is a person. So again, the soul comes into existence at the same time that the body does.
Well, how about 1 Corinthians 2 and 7? Which tells you that before the world began, I have ordained you for your glory.
Yeah, well, the fact that God knows you before the foundations of the world does not mean that you existed before the foundations of the world or existed prior to your birth. God knows the end from the beginning, but the fact that God knows does not presuppose that the beginning to the end is fatalistically determined ahead of time. You can look back at events in your life, things that you saw with your own two eyes and have certainty about and know everything that actually happened in that circumstance because you were there, you watched it. The fact that you were there and watched it doesn't mean that you were the person that actually caused those events. So you're not the causal agent, even though you know it. So to presuppose that God knows everything doesn't mean that God is the causal agent of all things. And in the case of your experience, you only know what happened in the past. You don't know what happens in the future, but God knows all things. So this text has nothing to do with preexistence. It's just that God knows, for example, that Christ would be the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. He knows this long before the event actually happened. But again, the fact that he knows it does not mean that things are fatalistically determined.
Well, it doesn't, but it also says that Christ was with God before the world began.
Well, Christ is God. Christ is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So he is the creator of all things. He is the uncaused first cause of all things.
But I mean, he's God the Son.
Right.
He's not God the Father.
Right, but remember that from a biblical perspective, there's only one God in terms of the nature of God, one what. In other words, in terms of the persons in the Godhead, there are three. And persons has to do with subject-object relationships within the Godhead. So there's one what and three whos, if you will. But there's not three gods. We're not tritheistic. We believe in one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. And the reason we believe that is how God has condescended to reveal himself to us in the pages of Scripture, which we can demonstrate to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
So the spirit that that was left to us by God the Son is what?
The Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Yes, he is a person within the Godhead. The Son is a person within the Godhead. The Father is a person within the Godhead. And again, person, in the sense that I'm using it, has to do with subject-object distinctions within the Godhead, or identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. So I'm using person in that sense. So what do we see in the Scripture? We see that the Father is God. We see that the Son is God. We see that the Holy Spirit is God, and we see that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. We also see in Scripture that there's only one God. So that's why we describe God as one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. We can't fully comprehend that, but we apprehend that from Scripture, and therefore we bow our knee before God's revelation of himself to us.
Interesting description. Thank you very much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Ray in Marshall, Texas. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Hank. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy listening to you in the car on the way home, and you always give me some good food for thought.
Thank you.
If I could make one quick comment about Isabella, our 10-year-old son was born with a congenital heart defect, and he's on the heart transplant list right now. And we've gone through similar, you know, why us and why is this happening questions that she has, but through his lifetime, and we've been able to learn to see the blessings where we would not have otherwise.
Wow.
So I just ask her to start looking for the blessings, and we will be praying for her.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. What an unintended consequence in some sense. You know, you have a personal conversation, and a lot of people are listening in, and suddenly she has a lot of people around the country praying for her, and what a solace that must be for her soul.
I hope so, and honestly, your conversation was a blessing to us, too.
Mm,
so I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
A couple weeks ago, a lady called in about worship music.
Yeah.
And your response dealt with the text. It had to be theologically correct. It had to be well-constructed, et cetera, et cetera. And all of that I agree with. I'm curious as to your thoughts on the music itself, since music is a language with its own grammar, so to speak. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it has to be honoring to the Lord, but that is a sticky wicket in some sense. What I think is worshipful or what I think is pleasing to the Lord may sound disconcordant to someone else or vice versa. I go into some church services and I listen to the music that is opening up the service, and it does not put me in a state of worship at all. In fact, it is like clanging and banging to my ears. It just doesn't put me in a worshipful state. And there are others that listen to that same music, and instead of hearing a cacophony of noise, they hear beauty. So there is a certain sense in which this is a very, very, as I say, sticky wicket. It is a very difficult thing to discern. And I certainly am more concerned, ultimately, about the lyrics themselves. Although, I'm sure there is a sense in which the music itself could be critiqued on a far more sophisticated level than I'm given to, because I just don't happen to be an expert in that area. And we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember our contact information as we close on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants, remember, they're at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.